Jesus said, and we often don't believe him, that the path that leads to life and the gate that opens to it is very narrow and very small.
But there were also, I know that you've told me, there were a lot of very lonely and painful weekends. And that's the part of being isolated mm-hmm. that hurts people mm-hmm. so much mm-hmm. and they misunderstand. So in the beginning, before you kind of understood this and realized what was happening, you had some really painful times.
Oh, absolutely. It even though it was such a blessed time in my life, it was one of the most painful. Mm-hmm. Once again, I was crying and telling the Lord how lonely I was. And it was like I could see in the spirit Jesus sitting at the end of my bed, and it was like he was calling me to climb up into his lap, and I actually literally moved forward.
And the focus on the money and the things, and I see my attitude and who I am in that person, and it just breaks my heart to see who I am apart from Jesus Christ. I find in my own life one of the most dramatic and vivid examples of why God, in his righteousness, so often separates and isolates us as Christians. Today, perhaps nothing has touched me more with shame, sadness, or regret than those times that I have come across pictures and videos of my old life where I'm forced to see with new eyes, vivid proof that I was a counterfeit, world-loving, man-pleasing, quote, Christian, offering lip service to God for 20 years while harboring idolatry in my heart. One time, someone close to me suddenly saw the drastic contrast between my two lives, and they exclaimed with great enthusiasm what a true miracle I was for having escaped all those worldly pleasures and the riches of the American dream, which I had so deeply immersed myself in. I was very much a part of the world, and the world accepted me as its own, just like Jesus taught. But to God, my life and heart were detestable and in much need of being torn down and separated. I couldn't see how much God despised what I and those around me valued so much. I was a modern-day idolater in God's eyes, even though I professed to be a Christian. My two greatest idols were people and money, and the former was always the door to the latter. I coveted the acceptance, the praise, and the honor of men, and found that the more I pleased men, the more money I made. And the more money I made, the more I felt that sense of security, control, freedom, and self-worth, which I craved as a wounded and insecure human being. My life back then was highly praised by men.
How many of you ever heard of the 90, the 60, or even the 30-day wonder? Right? All of us have. How many other businesses do you hear people sitting around in their meetings talking about, oh, Johnny the surgeon, he was a 90-day wonder.
And I was constantly surrounded by friends and hundreds of business acquaintances all over the country who appreciated, respected, and admired me.
In the past quarter century, I've shared the platform with and experienced some of the world's great communicators. Mike Criswell is one of those. In our world, it seems like we're constantly bombarded by negative messages. Mike's positivity helps people maintain a proper perspective. It helps them live better lives and build better businesses.
The thing that really stands out about Mike is his unbelievable energy level, his passion for life. It's not just about his business, it's about his family, his faith, it's about his friends.
Mike Criswell is one of the most enthusiastic guys and down-to-earth guys. You know, it just comes through.
He's a very, very good presenter. I mean, he's motivational in just the way he presents.
He makes you feel like you've known him forever. He's the type of guy that you automatically seem to like and trust. And to me, if you can find someone like that in your life and be able to take a few moments of your time to listen and learn and have an open mind, it'll work for anybody.
I've been Mike's life coach now, goodness, coming up on 5 years. You're not going to meet too many people just like Mike. Mike has a passion for life unlike many people I've ever known.
Kind of funny because Mike and I always, you know, I'm always joking to him about who he reminds me of. And Mike is today's Zig Ziglar, by far. And, you know, we just barely, you know, started building the mountain of what Mike's success is all about.
Mike is probably the most upbeat and positive person I think I've ever met in my life. Just boundless energy, a continual optimism.
The height of my pathetic insecurity and desire for the praise of men could be seen in my desire to be known by my associations to powerful or to famous people. If I needed to exalt myself in a business meeting, I could bring up stories perhaps of being teased at breakfast meals at the Moon Hut restaurant in Cape Canaveral, Florida, by then Terry Bollea, who went on to become Hulk Hogan. Or I could mention my classmate at Cocoa Beach High School, Kelly Slater, who had went on to become an 11-time world surfing champion. Ironically, I've met more than my fair share of famous people, and there are some remarkable stories behind some of them. But all of these encounters gave me a very worldly and false sense of value about myself, as if my association to them, most of whom were godless, would increase my self-worth and my perceived value in the eyes of others. This was idolatry, and it was deeply rooted in my heart. Today, these pictures represent great shame to me, and I never show them to others. I don't have any of them printed out or hung on a wall or on our website, excluding Zig Ziglar, or even on my phone. I even found it taking a long time for me to find this one collage I made years ago, because I am not proud today of any of these pictures. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. Before God could engage in relationship or fulfill His purposes for Moses or Abraham, He first had to remove the pleasures and the royal pride of Egypt from Moses' heart and the pagan idolatry of Chaldea out of Abraham's heart. How did He do it? By sending them away, putting them into a type of exile, separating them from all they had ever known and loved in the world for many years. He separated them and brought them into deep isolation, effectively starving them to death of their old life, while slowly incubating a spiritual faith and spiritual life with Him. God's ways have not changed, and He still uses this method to separate true Christians unto Himself this way, and it can become very lonely as a Christian, but it is absolutely necessary, and there is a guaranteed blessing for those who will patiently and faithfully endure it.
My business, my family, my kids, my name, my reputation, my hope for my future, it was all gone.
I feel so alone.
As you can see, there is no one out here with me. And one of the things that you will definitely find in the Christian life is that for those who go beyond just calling themselves a Christian, you will find yourself being very lonely. I was shocked at how many people really abandoned me when I started to take Jesus Christ very seriously and take his words in the Bible very seriously.
That can be discouraging sometimes. I mean, here it is, a Saturday night. I'm 39 years old. I am by myself. And I'm living in a city that I still to this day, I really don't have hardly any friends here at all. God has really isolated me for a reason. And I know it's for a reason. Behind all of these feelings of feeling down, I'm very well aware that God has asked me to do exactly what I'm doing and to remain exactly where I'm at. But you know, it can be so discouraging. I mean, almost all of my friends have turned from me. I have about four friends that know fully what's going on, that still believe that God is working in my life and going to do something spectacular, and mostly everyone else has deserted me. I've lost my credibility, as my mom says, in their eyes, and people think I'm not hearing from God. They believe I'm misguided. And it's funny, when I read the scriptures here, you know, when I read the stories in the Bible, it seems like the further down this road I get, the more my life and circumstances seems to line up with stories of people in the Bible.
It was very painful, the rejection that I received from almost everyone, basically everyone around me, because even people who go to church and to evangelical church, which is supposed to know the truth and stuff. But even when I would tell them, for example, that to overcome sin is possible and to have a deep relationship. I remember this time when I told someone a deep relationship with God is possible. They looked at me as if I was from another planet. I suffered a lot. I cried many nights. I went through a lot of even breakdowns sometimes. For my flesh, it was a very heavy cross to bear, because I really cared about receiving the honor of man and being successful in life and being successful professionally in my profession, in my career and all that. And after losing everything, I lost all of that. And it was hard. It was hard. It was not easy. And yes, people called me names. They looked at me differently now. Even people who would go to church do not believe that we can overcome sin, that it is possible to be sanctified, to overcome sin, to have a deep relationship with God, to follow the Lord. And no matter what I said, they could not see, they could not understand, which was weird.
It is a very difficult part of being a Christian, the isolation and loneliness, because especially we become followers of Christ and we think to ourselves, wow, how exciting. Look at all the churches. And maybe we go to a few churches and we see all the people and they're lifting their hands and they're singing praises and they call themselves Christians and they have their bumper sticker and we get so excited. And then we get so let down. We begin to talk to them and it's like they're living on a different planet. And it's because they have a different faith, a different gospel, a different Jesus, a different spirit.
If you go to our website and you select teaching, messages by topic, and you scroll down to the topic, knowing God, you can access a message I made many years ago called Isolated and Alone, that so many people were able to relate to. If this indeed is something you're going through now, let me encourage you for sure, after you listen to this message, to go listen to Isolated and Alone, hearing more about God's good purpose for this stage in your life.
And he started withdrawing me from the world and from people, even Christians, more and more, and I found myself increasingly isolated. He started putting a deeper and deeper desire in my heart just to know Jesus, just to walk with Jesus and walk with God as Abram and Moses and David walked closely with him. That just became a deeper and deeper and stronger desire in my heart. So as that started growing, God started separating me from most Christian stuff and most things in the world.
Other than my husband, no one seems to understand, I guess, the road that I'm on at the moment, because I'm very feeling very different to a lot of other people, so nobody really gets me. I can explain it to my husband, and whether he truly gets me or not, he's very supportive and just, you know, he'll, okay, yep, and he may not truly understand it, but he supports it and tells me to keep striving for whatever it is I'm looking for, which is good. And so, yeah, I do struggle with talking to people. Like I said, my husband works for a family business that they're Baptist, and the boss is also the minister of the Baptist church, and they're a lovely family. But there are people of the church that I struggle to talk to, because I just, if I do, you know, run into them or see them, it's hard to talk about Jesus and our Father, because it just doesn't seem, I just don't feel we're on the same page. Yeah, so I do struggle, and I find that really hard. And I guess I just need to keep praying for the strength and to keep moving forward. Yeah, I just don't feel there's a lot of people that understand me on where I'm at on my journey with the Father.
The most difficult part of following Christ is definitely the loneliness. I am all alone on this road. And the deeper I go with Jesus, the lonelier it gets. Nobody accompanies me on this journey or can even understand my walk. Most of the Christians I know, they don't really know him or follow him. They just know about him, and they don't have this burning desire that I have. So, yeah, it's very difficult and very lonely.
I think of Joshua and Caleb, how few they were in comparison to the number of Israelites that the Bible says came out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea by faith. But we don't see any lasting faith in the wilderness. And this is the reason why Jesus said, many are called, few are chosen. And why he said to us, strive to enter the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will try to enter, but will not be allowed to. So let us not fool ourselves into thinking that the Christian life is going to be one long fellowship party. Brothers and sisters, it is not. Being a true follower of Jesus Christ is so rare.
I'm in a place where nothing is happening, like literally nothing. It's like a desert. I mean, I wouldn't say it's a spiritual desert, but it's just no friends, no family, no husband really, you know, that would support you emotionally and understand you.
And at the time, my husband was already departing from faith, so I had no really nobody. Which is really hard. Nobody could understand. I was confused what to do, how to follow Christ.
Jesus said, and we often don't believe him, that the path that leads to life and the gate that opens to it is very narrow and very small. He says many will try to enter and will not be able to. Only a few find it. Many are the called, few are chosen. Lord, are only a few going to be saved? The disciples asked Jesus. Brothers and sisters, being a true follower of Christ, you know, we talked about it down there, counting the cost. If I were to go and interview some of these people and ask them, so could you tell me some of the sacrifices that you've made in order to do this? What are some of the things you've given up? And they might talk to me about having given up relationships, given up time with family, given up time with children, given up time with parents, given up time at home, given up time away from their work. Counting the cost, very much a part of being a Christian is being lonely and counting the cost.
And everybody thought I'm nuts when I said I'm losing my job and leaving everything behind and doing all these things. Like, people just thinking I'm crazy.
You and Bob had come to me and you said, this has got to be a mental illness, because it's nonstop optimism. You said, you know, you don't see me getting mad at people. And you saw this optimism, and they would walk out of the room and I'd say,
This mental illness is called faith.
In Mark 3:21, when his, Jesus, family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. G. Campbell Morgan writes, people today never seem to think that passionate and sacrificial devotion suggests madness in any realm except the spiritual. No one suggests that the athlete who gives himself totally to his sport and sacrifices all for the sake of physical prowess is beside himself. No one imagines that the businessman who is so devoted to amassing wealth that he shortens his life is beside himself. No, this suggestion is retained only for those whose service for the souls of men and women is sacrificial. Let all such servants be comforted. They are in holy comradeship.
But I tell you, as painful as that is, the Lord will meet your needs if you cry out to him. Let the Father have his way. Let him isolate you and separate you unto himself. The Bible says, the Lord sets the godly apart for himself. Let him be jealous for you.
Father, help me understand so many of these teachings, brother, in this place, in this lonely place. We live in a very lonely place, brother. But this is the place where, just like our Savior fed the multitude, what did Peter say? Lord, send these people away to nearby villages so they can go and buy food nearby, for this is a remote place, a lonely place. I remember remembering that scripture, and I knew I had to stay here, brother, 10 years ago. So much changes in my life, brother. And with your rebuke, with your guidance, brother, I made it this far. It was all empowered, of course, by the Holy Spirit, brother, but you played a big role, brother. You were an example for me, brother.
Change your way of thinking. God really is very much about drawing you to himself, having you be his temple. John 14:21-23, making his home with you. Let him make his home with you. Give him some time to separate you from other people and having your needs met by other people when he wants to be the one who meets your needs. He wants to be the one to fulfill your deepest longings and desires for Christian fellowship. Jesus, the living Lord.
But that is where I would like to speak about the faithfulness of God. It has been now 1 year and 9 months since leaving this project, and I can truly say the only thing that it hurt was my flesh. But it did not overcomes the life of Jesus in me. Every time God was faithful and he would help me. For example, sometimes I would be unable to go on and I just couldn't. I wanted to give up because not I wanted. I just couldn't. My strength was gone, was zero. I had no strength to go on, to fight, or I just couldn't go on any longer. And it was very hard. And I knew that if I didn't receive supernatural strength, the grace of God, I could no longer go on. I could no longer walk on this road. I just couldn't. The only option left was to give up, but then God would always show up. He was faithful for 1 year and 9 months. He was faithful. Not once did he fail me. Not once. Throughout all the pain and sufferings and persecutions and deep troubles and just me crying nights, many nights, and thinking just everything, and the doubts, and just everything, not once did he leave me. And not only that, but it only hurt my flesh. But on the other side, I started getting to know the Lord more and more, walking with him deeper and getting to know him in my prayers. Now I am able to, by his grace, to discern his will in some things. And it's so beautiful, like to truly, truly have a beautiful. I have really a beautiful relationship with God, and I still consider myself at the beginning, but it is so beautiful.
The suffering, the divorce, you've been with this man since you're 16 years old. You get married when you're in your early 20s. It falls apart, but that's not the only loss. Mm-hmm. So what was your experience with isolation?
So after the divorce, God asked me to walk away from a friendship that I had. We're very, very good friends, very close, but she wasn't a Christian, and I felt like God said, separate. And as I was starting to dive deeper into all these videos that you were putting out, the Lord gave me such a hunger after he tore down my false belief system, that, you know, from going to charismatic churches to now wanting to really know the truth. And so as I began to learn the truth and get closer to the Lord, I started to feel there was a distance between me and my friends and family that called themselves Christians, because it's like we didn't speak the same language anymore. You know, I started to learn to hear Father's voice. I started to learn what his will was for me. You know, he wanted me to teach Keely everything that he was teaching me. And so I got so busy wanting to hear Father's voice on a daily basis. I got so busy doing the John 7:17 challenge. I just felt that that was my priority, was to get to know the Lord. Yeah, it was like I was in school of faith. And I was very much a people person. You know, I had quite a few friends and I was very heavily involved in my family, but it was like God was isolating me and I just didn't have that desire anymore. So as I started to lose the desire, you know, for a lot of social time and hanging out with friends and family, I started to get to know Father more and more. I felt closer and closer to him.
Right. But there were also, I know that you've told me, there were a lot of very lonely and painful weekends. And that's the part of being isolated mm-hmm. that hurts people mm-hmm. so much mm-hmm. and they misunderstand. So in the beginning, before you kind of understood this and realized what was happening, you had some really painful
times. Oh, absolutely. It even though it was such a blessed time in my life, it was one of the most painful. Mm-hmm. And so during the week, it wasn't so bad. You know, Monday to Friday, because I had my part-time cleaning job. I'd pick Keely up from school. She had after-school activities. But when the weekend came, you know, she had a really good friend that had a holiday home in Raglan, and Keely would often go most weekends. And so I'd find myself alone for those 2 days. And God had blessed me with Ruby, my cat. I really believe that he brought her to me as a gift, you know, yeah. like a good meal to keep me from collapsing along
Without
the way.
A doubt.
She really kept me company, and yeah. You know, I've been so thankful to Father for her. Even though now she's gone.
I know, darling. We're not going to mention the war.
No.
So.
But
there were times that even the cat didn't stave off all of the mm-hmm. feeling of loneliness.
Yeah.
Like sitting there, feeling lonely. Your friends are out doing fun things. Keely's off starting her new life with friends, and you know, having more freedom, and you're yeah. stuck. No husband, no one to give you a hug, all that stuff. So talk to me what you've shared before about how one time you really felt the Lord knew that you needed a special touch and so that he came to you in this isolation. Mm. Share that.
Yeah, so I'd find myself quite a few weekends, you know, just sitting on the couch in the lounge. You know, I wasn't interested in watching TV. I'd gone from being somebody who liked watching movies to now I just couldn't be bothered, you know, like I just started to lose my desire for all these things that I used to be into. And I'd find myself sitting on the couch, just looking out my window, just crying, literally crying to the Lord and casting all my cares and worries on him. But there was one particular time I remember when I was sitting in bed, and once again I was crying and telling the Lord how lonely I was, and it was like I could see in the spirit Jesus sitting at the end of my bed, and it was like he was calling me to climb up into his lap, and I actually literally moved forward as if it was actually, you know, as if he was actually there and it was happening. And I could see him and feel him put his arms around me, and I leant in with my cheek and rested it on his chest. And it was incredible. It was like it was actually happening, and I could feel it. And it was like he just held me for such a long time, like he knew I needed to be held.
Yes.
And it was just so beautiful. It was incredible, you know, an incredible experience. So there were times that he would come through for me like that.
And revive you in your loneliness.
Yeah, absolutely. It was also a time I think that I needed, because, you know, when he was starting to call me into the truth
yes.
and call me higher, I could see that he was wanting to reveal certain sins that I had.
Yes.
And it was a time that I could, because I was isolated, there was a lot of time to think. There was a lot of time for self-reflection. There was a lot of time to examine myself. And so, it was a time of me learning to hear God's voice and Him telling me, you know, I want you to put this sin down. It was a refining time. It was a time of growth. It was time of learning. Yeah, it was so beautiful. I mean, it was 5 years. It was a long time. And I thought it wouldn't, you know, that He wouldn't stretch it out for so long.
Famous for thinking that.
Yeah. But it was one of the most precious times for me because it's when I really got to know Him and learn to walk with Him. Yeah, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
So even though going in, it often looks like a dark tunnel where mm-hmm. there's no light at the end, now looking back, you see how beautiful, right? How
absolutely.
Purposeful, mm-hmm. how fruitful, how glorious, mm-hmm. how wise, how perfect mm-hmm. it is that God does mm-hmm. this.
One of the big things that also got me through those 5 years is hearing God's voice on a daily or weekly basis. And it was like every day I expected to hear His voice. I was constantly looking out for His voice. And I think it was because now I wasn't so busy. You know what I mean?
Right.
There was time. I got to smell the roses, you know, like stop and smell the roses. But instead of smelling the roses, I got to stop and listen out, you know, for Father to, you know, to speak to me.
Yes, right.
And that was like a cup of cold water every day.
Yeah.
It was so exciting to think, wow, Father's just spoken to me. Or,
yep.
wow, look at this providence and look at this sign. And it got me busy in Scripture and looking up Scriptures. And, and you know, when the inner witness would allow a Scripture to jump off the page at me and I'd be writing in my journal, and it was just incredible, you know?
Yes, all
totally
just
incredible.
Worth
it. Yeah. It was like a treasure hunt every day for me.
Yeah.
I've got my first sand dollar.
Yeah, your first sand dollar. Yep.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so you've never seen one of those before?
Only in the shops.
Wow, yeah.
Not on the beach. We don't have these.
Wow, that's so cool, darling.
Not like this.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got a sand dollar, but it's not pretty like this.
Yeah, that's neat.
I'm going to take it home.
Yeah. Mm. Can you see how God separates Moses and Abraham and pulls them out of the loud noise of an Egypt or of a Chaldea, and out of the noise of the family and familiarity, puts you on the backside of a desert where it's real quiet, begins to manifest himself and speak to you, puts you in a situation where you're very humble and you can no longer depend upon all the people that you had. Now you have to start drawing your strength, your resources, and your manna directly from heaven. Mm-hmm. You now step from having a belief system about Christianity and you step into the kingdom of God. Jesus becomes not a person, a historical figure, but a real master, a real living Lord that speaks to you. And it can't happen unless He isolates you from all that you have in your life that's not of Him.
Because life can get so busy that it becomes a distraction.
Yes.
You can go throughout your day without even thinking about God.
Correct.
And so that's why I had to
Amazing. That's why
I had to establish my, you know, devotional prayer time, reading of the Bible time in the morning.
Yes.
That's why I was constantly listening out for the voice of God. I was constantly thinking about things above rather than things below.
Yep. Your friends, I can only imagine how many of the friends, like my old friends, would have looked at you and thought, poor Lisa.
Mm.
You know, she's now a total failure, divorced, she's lost everything, you know, she's just washed up, a has-been. And yet God looks at you and says, ah, now I have my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have her where I want her. Now I can reveal myself to her. Now I can bring her into newness of life. I can fill her with my spirit. I can allow her to hear my speaking voice, and I can guide and direct her into my plan and purpose.
Mm.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
I've been isolated and alone a long time walking this mountain of faith, but I've never truly been lonely. Brothers and sisters, it is really worth it. Please ask the Lord for grace. Remember what we talked about down there. This, going up here, wait until you see what's in front of me. It's impossible. Being alone, do you see anybody out here with me? No, it's like I'm in a desert land, a wilderness, all by myself. There's no one out here. Let God have His way with you. Let God isolate you unto Himself. Let Him teach you how to hear Him. Let him teach you how to draw your strength from him, from on the heights. Oh man, it is so worth it. It is so worth it. I think of all the times I've climbed a mountain like this and how long I've been climbing this mountain of faith. It is so worth it, brothers and sisters. I know that when you're in the moment, it feels lonely and painful and confusing because God's ways are not our ways. But I promise you, I promise you, I promise you, look at me. I'm standing here today weeping with tears in my eyes, not because I'm lonely, but because I am so happy that the Lord did everything to me that he said he would do, and he will do everything to you that he promises he will do. You can put your foot on all that ground of the promises of Jesus Christ and the new covenant. You can claim them by faith, not prosperity and riches of the world and materialistic garbage, but the spiritual treasures, the spiritual gifts God is in want to give to you in his perfect timing. If you are lonely, if you're craving for Bible study fellowship and friendship, perhaps a romantic partner, a spouse, trust the Lord. Pour out your hearts to him, O people, for God is our refuge. Cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. Let him have his way with you, and in due time, if that's what he has for you, he will give you a person, a fellowship, a Bible study, a friend, a brother or sister in Christ. I know over the years, so many people have emailed me in the pain of their loneliness, but you are not alone. And the only way for you to really feel that in your heart and to experience that as your reality, just as I'm telling you it's true for me, is by faith. Again, this entire journey, you'll probably hear me say it over and over again, everything is by faith. Don't be afraid to be alone. Don't be afraid to be isolated and insulated, remembering that so much of what God is doing, setting you by yourself, is to isolate you from all the things in the world that kept you from him to begin with, or that will distance him from you now. Okay, when I came around the corner, you probably can't tell in the video, but that is steep. It's time for me to put this thing back down and begin to climb again. You're on a path to fullness in Christ. It is the highest pleasure he has to see you and I conformed into his image, to see you and I live by faith. This is real. These parables that Jesus gave us, this parable of this climbing the mountain, he had me do this for a reason. It's real. Jesus' grace is real. Faith is real. Mountaintop faith is real. Mountain moving faith is real. Sanctification is real. Being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ from all sin is real. Being a slave to righteousness is real. Moving out of Romans 7 into Romans 8, living a life of the law of the Spirit in love is real. These things are all real, brothers and sisters, but we have to perceive that they are there by faith, and we have to go after them and believe that they are real. This is faith, being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see.